unique shopping experience time and time again, that's what keeps you coming back. Visit jackandrea.com for more information.
This is WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
And hello, welcome to Community Matters for this week. And we're honored to have Mayor John Anaramian as our guest today. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Welcome.
We're going to be concentrating today on your vision for the Kenosha downtown. We've been getting little snippets of announcements, and I know to some extent that's the real stuff going on. But it's the vision and the why, and what you see are the results if this vision is completely implemented, that to me is ultimately interesting, and what it means for all of Kenosha. So I hope that's what we're able to address today. I thought we could start with some real general overview and then start digging deep into the parcels and all the pieces that you have in mind. So when we're talking the downtown plan, what are we really talking about?
Well, over the years, we've had a number of downtown plans, and throughout the, when you look at the downtown in general, we've tried to, in some ways, keep some of the older buildings. I mean, the city bought the Alford building, we bought the old Barden's building. We purchased those buildings so we could save them. And now we have developers who are taking those buildings over. We purchased some properties that were on the lakefront over by the Dayton Hotel, and we cleaned out that area over there. And you now have two buildings that have been built in that area already, and a third one now that is going to be coming online in that area also, which will be housing. So it's so there's some good positive things that are happening in the downtown on its own. You have the Stella, which we were able to complete. The previous administration had started it, and we were able to get it finished. So that is now up and running. And you're starting to look at that now as a parking ramp that just went out to bid. And so that'll help with some of the parking that we're having in the downtown, because with all these other things happening, parking is becoming a nice problem to have. So we focused a little more in the sense of the area where City Hall is located and the surrounding areas around City Hall.
For the plan
for
itself,
yeah.
Rather than a little piecemeal around it.
That's correct. So you're seeing all the little things that are happening. And I shouldn't call them little. They're actually rather large projects when you look at them individually. It's just we've never had so many of them happening at one time.
Right.
You also have the sale of the Kenosha News and
yes.
Herzing coming
yes.
in. So that plays a role. And that's also another reason that parking is going to be becoming an issue. And that's why the new parking ramp becomes very, very important. So when you start then focusing on the other part of the northern part of the downtown, where City Hall is, it was a question of what do you do with City Hall? City Hall is a very old building in very bad shape.
Definitely.
The cost of maintaining that building is every year gets more and more. And it's going to continue to get that way as long as we're there. It's got some sinking issues. It's got a whole bunch of things. So it is it's an old school and was never designed as for a city government. And so we're at that point in time where we really need to move out of that building, take that building down. And then the question comes, everyone always thought, well, we should build something on that site. If you build on that site, you then block all the other properties from developing that are behind it and on the side of it. So if you take City Hall and we make that into almost a central park concept where you can have ice skating, we can have all sorts of different activities. The Veterans Fountains will be reprogrammed into the area and fixed and made, one of the fountains are in bad shape and we need to take the time to actually rebuild it and do it right. Those types of things that need to happen, we need to be working on for the future. But that would be what that park should be for. And so we want to create a park atmosphere there. And then what happens is you now open up all the properties around it. And that becomes very valuable in the sense of property tax that can be developed.
When you say properties around it, you're talking about, I'll use some of the vernacular, the old Piggly Wiggly. The old furniture store,
yep.
Which is to the west of City Hall. And then right now you've got the transit center kind of.
Right. And then across the street from there you have the old Red's Roller Rink. For those who remember
that. That one predates my arrival here.
Oh, my goodness. Now I'm showing my age. Thank you very much. Red's Roller Rink. You have then the parking lot that the city owns, and farther from Red's Roller Rink going east, and then you have the A site, which is part of Harbor Park.
And the A site is the one that's kind of bordered by Trolley Dogs,
right.
Correct? And then 54th Street.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So you have those all those lots now become more attractive because they all have views of the lake.
Oh, okay.
And so that's one of the reasons that if you build on the, you know, the City Hall piece, you don't get as much value as we will if we take City Hall, make that into a recreational area, and then build around it. Plus, the good news is we're not displacing anybody. Literally, the majority of the property there is underutilized. And so it's a positive situation for the whole area. And so when you start looking at it from that perspective, that's the area that we're looking at building out and having developed. And then there's a whole bunch of different things that we're looking to develop on those sites. So, Mommy, just kind of keep on rolling while we're talking here.
Well, before we get to some of the specifics with the sites, because I certainly have questions, and I think that will really round out what some of your plans are. But some general questions about what you hope this development will mean to City of Kenosha beyond the downtown. And if everything is implemented in what you have in your vision, you know, what kind of city will Kenosha be?
Well, to answer that, though, then you're going farther than downtown.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch of things that are happening. You can't look at everything in a vacuum as to, okay, this is the downtown, and then nothing else is going on.
So if the downtown, though, is completed the way you want, does that make things like what you hope will happen in the old Chrysler site more attractive, or is it the other way around, or
together? I think it's more of a combination of things. The downtown is like a first step. We've already moved a long way into downtown. I think that most people haven't seen, though, that we have been doing a lot of things in uptown that they haven't seen yet. The city has been purchasing properties. We have been taking properties that the county has transferred to us on back taxes. We're looking at putting infrastructure roads in place that will shorten some of the streets or avenues in the older neighborhoods, because one of the problems we have are some of the streets are way too long. There's no cross streets. So that'll make them safer and create a better situation for traffic flow and for police patrols. So there are a lot of things that are going on besides just the downtown. Part of it happens, though, that you just have to, like I said, nothing happens fast. The downtown plan didn't just happen overnight. It's one of those things that we've been working on for a while. Uptown, we're starting to do some things in the uptown already, but there's going to be a lot more. And the Chrysler site is also tied to the uptown development. So all those pieces are tied, and there's a, I believe the Chrysler site is going to be a fascinating project in the future. What we're looking at there is an innovation center. And so it ties to the downtown, because if you create the innovation center, you're going to have a lot of younger people. You're going to have a lot of different types of innovation and new technologies. You're going to have startup companies. All those types of things will be happening at the Chrysler site, and that then feeds back into the recreational and the living in the downtown area, along with the uptown. So that's why I say you can't just take these pieces apart. They're intertwined. They may not be intertwined in the sense of what happens first, second, or third, but they're intertwined on the long range as to what they're going to develop, because downtown isn't going to develop in 2 years or 3 years. It's going to take a longer time frame. And by that time, some of these other things will also be in the process of being developed. And so they'll be intertwined in what they're doing. And then if you keep on going farther west, you have the property that the city has worked out an agreement with Paris of roughly 3,300 acres that eventually can come into the city. And that's all designated as industrial. And so some of the intentions of what we're doing is we're targeting more manufacturing, more R&D, and more tech type of companies than what we've been doing in the past. And because of that, that also will now have an impact on what's going on in the downtown area. That's why I say this is so many things are intertwined, including Pleasant Prairie. When you look at some of the companies coming into Pleasant Prairie, there is going to be a need for housing in different places and different levels and types of housing. And that's I think from the city's perspective, that's the piece that we have to make sure works. We need to make sure that we have a mixture of housing throughout the community for everyone.
I hope you were really good at chess, because it sounds like one great big chess game to me. It's very difficult, I'm sure, to keep all of those things moving and working for each other rather than against, and taking advantage of strong economic times.
And not only strong economic times, but we also have been reaching out to government and everything else. One of the things, regrettably, I think has happened between what's going on with the federal government and the state government is that local municipalities need to look to themselves and say, how are we going to do this? If we can get help, that's great, but you can't count on help. We have to determine that we're going to work on our own, we're going to make decisions, and we're going to do developments and do the things we think we need to do in the community, and we should just plan on doing it ourselves, and if we get help, that's great. We give credit to whoever came forward to help us out, but I'm not going to sit and wait for someone else to do something so that we can get things done.
A couple of the things that I've heard that you have said is you're not as interested in developers who are going after some of the low-income grants for some of the housing in these new developments at this point. And similarly, you're kind of done with warehousing. And all I'm hearing you say is innovation and tech and R&D. So are those two statements true?
Well, not quite.
Okay.
As far as the city is concerned, in the past we've given out funds to different companies for different types of projects. We're being more selective. When we create a TIF district or when we do something like that, there is a reason for doing it, and if it's the appropriate situation, then we do it. So that's how we literally are managing that. In the case of warehousing, there's not a lot of warehousing that we're going to be TIFing for. I mean, in the past we did, but again, you have to look at the economy and where people are and where our community is at. And we've changed a great deal. We've reinvented ourselves numerous times. I mean, back in the 80s, late 80s, when Chrysler pulled out, in the early 90s, we reinvented ourselves and started building industrial parks through TIFs. In the 20s, we reinvented ourselves again. And for a community to grow and prosper, they have to continue to change. And I know that sometimes is hard for people, but if we don't change, there's only two directions, forward and backward. If you don't change, you go backwards. And you can point to a lot of communities in the state that have not changed and therefore have more problems than other communities. We're fortunate. We have continued to look to the future. We continue to look to see what we can do to be innovative and change. So on that basis, I would say that we are much more selective on where we put money and as far as we go. And as far as the housing piece goes, there's not an issue necessarily that you're against development of low-income housing.
I didn't mean that either. No.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah,
it's more of a question of, in certain areas, you want to make sure you have a diverse population. So you don't want low-income housing in all one location. You want scattered housing. Same with moderate-income mm-hmm. housing. Higher-end housing, though, in all honesty, where you get a large tax base, is usually on your lakefronts. So that's where
sure.
you would have those type of things happening. So again, downtown has a fair amount of mixed housing, and actually we don't have enough high-income housing in the downtown area, especially if we want to get a grocery store and some other types of things into the area. You need to have that mix of income and the mix of population.
So bringing us back to downtown, and you mentioned TIF districts. It is a TIF district
That's
where
correct.
You're developing. Where is that money being reinvested?
The TIF money is being reinvested in the downtown. So when you see the different projects that are happening that are TIF related, that is a downtown TIF. So an example is that if we have to replace, I'll give a perfect example. One of the issues which we use our TIF money for is as this development occurs, there are power lines that need to be put underground. So the TIF will pay for putting the power lines underground. There's the demolition of City Hall. The TIF will pay for the demolition of City Hall. If we have the development of the park, the TIF will pay for the development of the park. We develop another parking ramp. The TIF will pay for the parking ramp. However, when I say that, we are requiring the developer, as we get into these different projects, to actually build out a huge amount of parking. The first building they're doing, the Brindisi, has two parking stalls per unit, and then there's a number of other parking stalls for guests. And then there is, I believe, 60 parking spots for the restaurant and retail activity on the first floor. So they are totally contained as to the amount of parking. So they will not be creating any new parking problems in the downtown area because they will handle it themselves. So why would the city then build a parking ramp? Well, we have a lot of businesses in the downtown that don't have enough parking. Hopefully with the Performing Arts Center that gets built and operated by the private sector, there we probably will have to help out with a parking ramp at some point in time. So that's my guess.
That's in addition to the one that you're working on right now?
The one that we're already building, right.
Okay.
My guess is in the future, and this is many years down the road, this isn't anything that's happening tomorrow, you're probably looking at three parking ramps in the downtown area to deal with the amount of parking I think that you're going to have.
Makes sense. It really does. And it's exciting to see that, like you say, it's a nice problem to have.
It is. It's when you think back when I was a bit younger, you were always young.
Oh, yeah.
But when I was a bit younger, you know, we used to always say, if you know, the day we have a parking problem downtown would be wonderful. Well, we have a parking problem downtown, so we need to deal with it.
So let's go back to marching through the projects, and we were talking about where City Hall is now, and that should become parkland. So if we look to the north, that's really your first major announcement, at least in my mind, and that's the Brindisi. Talk to me a little bit about the project and then how it's structured. There is a developer who came forward with that project.
They will be coming to the Plan Commission, I believe, December 4th or 5th, I don't remember the date. It's a Thursday, that first week in December, for their first hearing on their building, which is the conditional use permit. And then they have to come back January 7th, I believe, for their second meeting for their conditional use permit, because it's a two-meeting process that we're required to do by law. And then if everything goes well and they are approved, they'll be starting to look at being able to break ground in the spring to build their first building. And it's a 11-story building. First floor has a restaurant and some other smaller retail. I'm not sure what that other retail will be. It's not a lot because the restaurant, I think, is the biggest piece of it. And then you have one tower, which is condos, and then a grass area between the next tower that goes up, and that will be apartments. And so like everything else, the initial conversation we've had was at the first public meeting was just tentative. They're looking at the condos running between $500,000 to start to about $1.5
million. So nice condos.
Some very nice condos. And then the apartments are also in the $2,000-plus range.
So bringing luxury. Now, from what I heard, one of the big questions is about that 11-story. Oh, my gosh. I can remember way back when, 20, 30 years ago, there's not going to be anything over 8 stories high around this place. So is that still a matter of discussion, or has the fire department?
We have, excuse me, we have roughly a couple of 10-story buildings that we've had for a long time in the city. And 10 stories was the maximum that you could go. The change now is, you know, based on the new structures of buildings, all the fire codes that are in the buildings. I mean, you don't have ladder trucks can go up rather high, but I don't know of many people who are going to walk, come down a ladder truck at 10 stories high.
The olden days.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think it's more of all the safety protocols that they have to put into the buildings, and they all
sprinkler systems and et cetera.
Sprinkling systems, set wall or set stairwells that are, you know, fire resistant, and all the different things that they now require.
You talked about them coming to plan commission, and then a month later. I know that it's not like a big surprise all of a sudden they land there in front of some of our elected officials. Yet they are bringing information, I assume, mm-hmm. to them now so that the aldermen can prepare themselves and the commissioners can prepare themselves.
And that's why they actually came a month early. They came last month because we thought it was important for them to at least get this out so that people could see it and anyone had any interest that we could talk it through. Find out what the issues were ahead of time, and so they could then respond when we get to the meeting, that they can actually respond in a rational way as to what the concerns of the council might be.
So the plan now, too, is for City Hall to be taken down, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. hopefully turned into nice parkland, especially if there's sinkable soil there. It sounds like that might be a really excellent idea.
Yeah, there is a point in time where the corner of the building does kind of lean.
Yeah, well, I live on sandy soil, too, so I totally get that whole lean thing. Then where is City Hall going to be rebuilt?
Well, City Hall will be rebuilt actually where it belongs, and actually under the, I think even in the Harlem Bartholomew Plan, which was done in 1925, I think we're actually going where they suggested. But don't hold me to that one. That's what sticks in my mind, and I might be wrong, though. That would be over where the old police station is. So the post office will be to the south, and the courthouse will be to the west. And so we're right in that corner.
That
and
makes
so
sense. That's where, truly a civic center to
right.
then.
And it brings City Hall back in line to where the county government is, so that people can actually, if they stop at City Hall, because a lot of times people make it the wrong, will stop at City Hall thinking they're supposed to be at the municipal court, and they're supposed to be at the county court. And so people get confused. So by being there, it's like, okay, you don't have to, if you're right across the street, just walk across. You can get to the place on time. You're not going to be late. courts don't like you to be late. So it's one of those things that would be very helpful to them. And also in cases where people have things that they have to sign up with the city and then have to do something with the county, they're right there. They can do both, and they're park the car once and walk a block.
That makes really good sense, and I'm sure because departments of the county and the city work together mm-hmm. on certain projects, that also fosters better cooperation.
Better communication.
So City Hall will be going there. I have seen a preliminary project milestone as of the end of October where it showed approval of a developer coming up sometime this quarter, the last quarter of the year?
Last quarter of the year. It'll probably be pushed a little bit into January, but we'll see. I mean, there are a number of things that have to be negotiated still, and from the city's perspective and the developer's perspective also, on how some of this all is going to work. And so some of that is still in discussions, still trying to work through. So we have we have some work to do yet.
If the original time frame would be held to, and I don't know a single project that's ever maintained its exact time frame, it would be occupied in the fourth quarter or the very end of 2021, so basically 2 years from now.
Right.
Do you think that's still doable?
Oh, yes. I actually think that is very doable. Now, it's really just a question of some of the things that need to get done. A lot of the design work is being done. A lot of the pricing still has to be done on the building. So there's a lot of things we have to still do before we move on it. But, it is definitely moving forward.
We're talking with Mayor Antaramian, City of Kenosha, talking about the downtown vision and turning that vision into reality and all the things it takes to get to that point on WGTD FM 91.1. Okay, we talked about Brindisi, the one announcement. We talked about City Hall moving, park going in there. You've mentioned the Performing Arts Center, and we've seen some announcement there. So where would that go, and where are we with that project?
Well, the Performing Arts Center will be directly west of where City Hall is today.
Okay.
So they will have a view overlooking the lake and the park. So the park will be in front, Performing Arts Center will be behind it.
And Sheridan Road then would be to its west.
To its west.
Okay. The old furniture property.
The old furniture property. And if, as people drive by, they can see people doing testing on soils there and also on some
of the other sites.
Yeah. So we're, like I said, everyone's doing their due diligence to make sure everything gets done. But the Performing Arts Center will be in that location. That is still in negotiation also as how that will work. There is a not-for-profit group that is out there that that is working on the project. And how that interrelationship with them and the owners of the Performing Arts Center is going to work will be something that is to be negotiated still.
So that's interesting to me. Owners and a not-for-profit. I guess originally I never thought that it would have an owner, that it would be sort of like a museum where it's part of the city, and it's not, though.
No, it's definitely going to be privately operated with a non-for-profit attached to it. I think part of the concept will be is that, you know, there's a lot of things that will be happening in the facility. I believe at the present time, and again, this all can change. That's why I'm always cautious on what I tell people. I mean, one of the things we're looking at is a main theater and then a smaller theater. And from my perspective, the smaller theater is what the not-for-profit should have control over. Also, we need to find how there will be a funding source for the not-for-profit so that they will be able to operate. So there's a lot of different things that we need to be looked at as to how this is going to work. And I'm excited that there's a lot of really good people looking at this. But the other part of the plan still has to be a design has to be created for the building. And so we're looking at in the agreement that that'll be targeted to a specific date where they have to start certain things. And so that's all part of negotiations. That's why I say negotiations aren't done yet.
No, but the fact that there are negotiations underway, in other words, that there is an interested private party who you believe, if not that person, some other private party.
Well, actually, the private party is the one that is doing this whole project. They're the ones who we chose to move forward with it. Now, that doesn't mean they won't bring in partners to do different things. But the overall agreement is going to be with the initial party because they're going to be the ones held responsible.
And you have not announced who that is.
I'm trying to think of the name now.
That's okay. It's
initials. I hate initials.
I know. It's no frame of reference then. No, okay.
But, yeah, they were the ones that came in with the Brindisi. It's the same group.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay, so Performing Arts Center to the west. Let's go south. Do you have something? Have you gone out for a developer yet?
No, all of this is the same developer.
Okay, all right. That helps.
So it helps me better understand. The part to the south of the Performing Arts Center, the talk there has been potentially hotel or a office building. And again, these are in the things that are just being discussed at the moment because it couldn't eventually even be housing instead. Depending on what the market, part of this is market driven because you don't want to build something that's going to be empty. You want to make sure that things are filling and that you're getting the value we want and that they're getting the value they want also because it's important for everyone to win if we're going to make this work. So there'll be, you know, so that one we're looking probably to be a hotel or a office building that'll be attached. And then the other parcels will be housing and they'll have, other than on Site A, well, even on Site A on 6th Avenue, you probably will see some retail. But retail on the first floors on all these buildings then and housing above. And as to how dense and everything else that'll be, that's all something that is going to be a little bit up to the market and what we're doing. So the goal is somewhere in the area of a $400 million development. And that would be what the developer is putting in. Not the city.
Okay.
Because I think people always mistake that when you talk about a $400 million development, they think somehow the city is putting $400 million into it. We're not. like I said, we have certain things that we are going to be agreeing to that we will do, but a lot of it is going to be infrastructure and those type of things. There still may be some interesting options that we have as we move along, but again, all that is it has to be negotiated.
So you have higher income housing built into this to balance some of the moderate or low income housing that already exists. Mm-hmm. So you have a broader range of income levels. You mentioned one of my very favorite terms as a Kenosha resident in that area, and that's a grocery store. But, you know, the bigger issue really is when you have a denser, more diverse population, what does that mean for development, including my favorite grocery store?
Well, the problem that we have is that because we don't have enough density and income straddling, getting a grocery store has been difficult and probably will not happen until we have a stronger density and income levels in the area. And that will then, I believe, enable us to get a grocery store. Now, what kind of grocery store, how big it is, that I don't know. I mean, there's people who want Whole Foods. I've had people telling me about Trader Joe's, other people talking to me about Mariano's. I mean, there's any number of opportunities and options. I have no clue which one it will be. But at this point in time, the one thing I do know is that from all the studies and everything else, I need more density and income in the downtown area if I'm going to get it.
But I imagine that goes beyond grocery store, and it also many other retail operations are similarly looking for.
Yeah, in a lot of ways you're right, but it's remarkable how many, because of our downtown and what has happened. I mean, one of the things that did occur was when we did Harper Park, we brought in some density. It wasn't enough to totally revitalize the downtown, but with Harper Park, the summer activities that occur has drawn a great deal more into the downtown. And so I think you'll see a lot of the retailers that are there now have survived and succeeded because of the other draws that occur into the downtown. So people want to come down to the lake. There's activity there and things are going on. So I think that's also a plus as to what goes on. So it'll be a combination of things, but that will drive the type of retail. And I'm not sure what the retail is going to be. I think you're going to see, over the time, more restaurants, just because it's at the lake. It's just one of those situations that it's a natural. And I think you'll see other types of retailers, more small retailers than large retailers, though, in the downtown. I think it'll be more the smaller types of shops that you're going to see.
You have an interesting mix where you have existing retailers, you have existing property owners of retail, retail properties. Some are still vacant, although not anywhere close to what it was in the past. There are a lot of things that are kind of out of your control, and I'm trying to figure out how, when you're playing chess with all the big pieces, how do you deal with a landlord who might be a pain in the butt? Or, you know, how do you work around
it? I love it when you use technical terms.
Yeah, well, that's as good as I'm going to get for you today.
Well, I think that it's always a challenge when you deal with people. I mean, it just is. It's everyone has different opinions and different things that they're looking to do. In times of where we're dealing with people, we attempt to try to just, how do we be fair and how can we make something work? There are times when we just have to walk away, though, and we have done that before. I mean, a perfect example of walking away is the Foxconn issue, in which case we made a determination, looked at the numbers, we didn't like what we saw, so we walked away. And dealing with property or purchasing property, you have to sometimes do the same thing. And sometimes you're just stuck. You just have to let it work itself out because there's nothing you can do about it. And I always know that's always the hardest thing because everyone wants you to fix something. It's kind of like sometimes there's nothing I can fix. I just have to let it work its way through.
Well, I imagine to a certain degree if the attractiveness, that's a word, of Kenosha and the as the economy builds and it's a stronger, more vital downtown, some of the problems will just go away because they see it's a good opportunity to sell and get out of it.
And you're right. And there will be people who will eventually, you know, basically have bought the property fairly inexpensively and will take the profit and move on, and someone else will come in and do something. But the tough part about that always is that there's always a time frame.
Yes.
And we are not always a very patient society. Everyone wants everything tomorrow. And it's the same thing I always tell people with the uptown area. We're working on it, and we're going to work on it even more in the next coming years. But it's not going to change overnight. You know, when you look at Harbor Park, we started Harbor Park in 94. And when you think of it, I mean, it's still not totally completed. That's when we started. So these projects are not simple and they're not quick. And you go through a bunch of economics in the sense that the economy goes up and down and you can't control that. So you just plan in the smartest way you can to make sure that you can get through the tough times, and when the better times are there, that we can take advantage of them.
Given that, of course, my next question is what is your time frame for all of this? Knowing that, you know, some things are underway now, so yay.
Well, you're not going to like my answer.
No, I know I'm not, but
tomorrow.
Go ahead.
That's my time frame, but it's not a real one. Yeah. You don't know. I mean, like everything else on these things, you deal with the projects one at a time. You know, in looking at the downtown plan, we're probably going to give the developer about 8 years to build out the majority of it. And the reason being is, again, some of these buildings take 18 months to build. I mean, the Brindisi is not a fast build. But the then question comes down to is, when do you allow them to start another project? And so, because you don't want the housing market to get hit to a point where you have too much on the market at any one time. So we have to pace these things. And that's why I say it's not going to be tomorrow, you're not going to build out 9 buildings or whatever the number of buildings there are, because that's just not going to happen. Can you build the Performing Arts Center and the hotel at the same time? Sure.
That works.
Right, because it makes sense and it works. But you're not going to be building like 3 or 4 housing projects at one time or housing units at one time, basically because you don't want to be in the situation that you put the market in a situation where you can't fill. Because it does take time to sell properties and to rent them. It's not something that just happens, especially when you're doing large numbers.
When you are doing that, you mentioned Kenosha, the city, will be somewhat responsible for various infrastructure items to support that. And you talked a little bit about utilities needed to be moved, and there's some parking issues. Streets, some of the streets have already been addressed, like 6th Avenue.
And there are more streets that are going to be addressed. I mean, realistically, the city has fallen behind in our situation with our streets. I don't think anyone will tell you that the streets are in great shape. They're not. However, you can only do so many streets at any one time, and for different reasons. One, financially, you can only do so many streets. And I give an example of 22nd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 7-year project.
Wow.
It's over $70 million in the end to do. You cannot do that all in 1 year, and nor do you want to try to do it all in 1 year. Financially, we couldn't do it, and physically couldn't do it. Secondly, because we do streets, we try to at least separate streets so you're not doing all the streets in an area and tying up all the traffic, because as much as everyone wants their street done, the number of complaints you get if you can't get across town or you can't get from point A to point B, you get as many complaints from that perspective as the other. So it's a combination of things of how you do things. You need to pace how you're going to do, which streets you're going to do, and try to get as many done as you can. But at the same time, you're limited on financials, and you're limited on not tying the city up so much that you can't get around. And then you throw in development that's going on, and there's a lot of development coming next year. So with that in there, with the streets in there, it just becomes a very big issue, and you want to make sure that we make it so people can get around town.
We have just about 4 minutes left, but I want to touch on recycling because that's been a really big issue. We're getting those large containers.
Yep.
Where are we at with that? What is our time frame?
The time frame for that is we'll probably start rolling that out in June, July of next year. I think we're going to try to do first a small pilot just to get our feet wet and get a couple of people used to it a little bit and see what the problems are. So we can, when we roll it out for everybody, it's not going to be as we'll have dealt with whatever issues that are out there. There's going to be a huge training part of this that's going to start going out, public training, and that will happen probably at the beginning of the year. Somewhere in January, we'll be rolling that out and getting things started so we can get to people and make sure they understand how this is going to work. We are literally, I think, literally one of the last communities in the state of Wisconsin to go to an automated system. So it's been done all over. People say, well, the cans are too big or this or that. We're looking at how everyone else did it, so we're not reinventing the wheel here. There's going to be some change. We're just all going to have to get used to a little bit of change. I know that's always hard. Change is one of the hardest things to get used to. However, there are a number of advantages to us for doing this way.
And you have to get new trucks, correct, to deal with it. So it's not just us getting our
that's
barrels.
That's correct. There are new trucks that have to be purchased, and that is in the process now.
What's the most exciting thing going on in your mayoral life right now in this last minute or so? What are you happiest about seeing?
I think the thing that probably is most appealing to me is the Chrysler site. I am very excited about that. I think the Innovation Center is going to be a huge plus for this community. I'm not sure how long it will take to actually implement the whole thing, but if we're able to do what I've seen done in other communities and the types of new companies that are created, giving young people an opportunity to do their own companies, creating situations where you're setting young people up to be able to land jobs in larger companies because of the skill set that they're going to be getting, mentoring that goes on, the financials that will be in place to help these young people, I think it is a huge win for that whole neighborhood and for the city.
And I know that the stone piles are shrinking every day.
Almost gone. By the end of the year, they should be gone.
So, again, time frame to at least get thing, maybe a first placement of something.
I would hope to have something first placed there sometime in 21.
Okay. That's pretty darn good.
Let's see if I can keep that.
Well, I can see where the challenge would be. I really thank you for sharing your vision of downtown and really how that there are other pieces that greatly affect the city. They all work together and to make it a stronger community. We've been talking with Mayor John Antaramian on Community Matters, and I'm Jane Herring.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. WGTD's morning show. Insightful questions put each week to the nation's top authors.
Those are great questions. It always makes for a better interview, for at least for the author, when the interviewer has actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer. My gosh, you really made me think. You really read the book. Yeah.
No other interviewer has really gotten into that. You really brought out some really great points.
Greg Berg holds the morning show weekdays after the 8 o'clock news, only on WGTD. Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Pedro's authentic Mexican cuisine, offering tacos, tamales, sides, desserts, and more. Pedro's is scheduled to be at every indoor market through the season. The market is held Saturdays from 10 until 2 at the Kenosha Masonic Center.
I'm Gregory Berg, encouraging you to subscribe to the new Morning Show podcast, which can be found on all of the major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, to receive a different Morning Show 7 days a week. Remember to search for The Morning Show with Greg Berg.
WGTD's Noon Tunes is where we highlight and celebrate the local musical talent here in southeastern Wisconsin by playing their music for you.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting.
If you are a local musician and you have a CD or MP3 of your professionally recorded songs, we'd like to hear from you and get you a Noon Tune. call me, Dave McGrath, at 564-3880 or email me at McGrathD@gtc.edu. We'll talk